Okay. Tasham through her. Saha the king. Janayam chakre. Begot. Atmacham. Daughter. Asita. Blue or black. Ikshanam. Whose eyes? Yavi Yashaha. Younger, very powerful. Sapta. Seven. Sutan. Sons. Sapta. Seven. Dravida. Province of Dravida or South India. Bhu. Of the land. Hrittaha. Kings. So translation. King Malaya Dwaja fathered one daughter who had very black eyes. He also had seven sons who later became the rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus, there were seven kings in that land. So you can repeat. King Malaya Dwaja fathered one daughter.
King Malaya Dwaja fathered one daughter.
Who had very black eyes.
He also had seven sons.
Who later became rulers
of that tract of land
known as Dravida.
Known as Dravida.
Thus, there were seven kings
in that land.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes.
King Malaya Dwaja was a great devotee. And after he married the daughter of King Vidarbha, he gave her one nice daughter whose eyes were black. Figuratively, this means that the daughter of King Malaya Dwaja was also bestowed with devotional service. Her eyes were always fixed on Krishna. A devotee has no vision in his life other than Krishna. The seven sons are the seven processes of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, offering worship, offering prayers, rendering transcendental loving service, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Of the nine types of devotional service, only seven were immediately given. The balance, friendship, and surrendering everything were to be developed later. In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories, namely Vidhimarg and Ragamarg. The process of becoming friends with the Lord and sacrificing everything for Him belongs to the category of Ragamarg, the stage of devotional service. For the neophyte, the important processes are those of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, remembering Krishna, worshipping the deity in the temple, offering prayers, and always engaging in the service of the Lord and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. The word yavi yatsaha indicates that these processes are very powerful. After a devotee engages in the processes of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasham, and is able to secure these processes, he can later become a devotee capable of rendering spontaneous devotional service, namely Sakyam and Atmanivedanam. Generally, the acharyas who preach devotional service all over the world belong to the category of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. A neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. A neophyte is advised to execute devotional service in the seven other fields, Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. If one can successfully execute the preliminary seven items, he can in the future be situated on the platform of Sakya. Sakyam Atmanivedanam. The specific mention of Dravida Desh refers to the five Dravida Deshes in South India. All are very strong in rendering the preliminary devotional processes. Shravanam Kirtanam. Some great acharyas like Ramanujacharya and Madhavacharya also came from Dravida Desh and became great preachers. They were all situated on the platform of Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. Kasham sajanayam chakra atmacham asitekshanam yavisha sapta sutan sapta dravida puvritaha. So omagana timidanda shah binanjana shalakya chakshur unmelitam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So a very interesting verse dealing with the different levels of devotional service. And one thing that's a common denominator for the first seven processes that are mentioned here, hearing, chanting, remembering, offering worship, offering prayers, rendering transcendental service, loving service, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord, these seven processes, at least by the neophyte, are rendered in the mood of awe and reverence. And it's very, very interesting. Like Srila Prabhupada instructed us to worship Radha and Krishna, the deities of Radha and Krishna, in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. It was very interesting because Radha Krishna worship is, you know, is only done on the platform of spontaneous devotional service, whereas the worship of Lakshmi Narayan is done on this platform of awe and reverence. So. Of course, there is no difference between Radha and Krishna and Lakshmi Narayan. It's not that we're not worshipping Radha and Krishna on the altar. It's just, for example, the Brahma Samhita states, Dvaita Chutanari Rananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. There's one Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he exhibits himself in many different forms. And all those forms are the same person, Advaita. They're one, they're same. But there are different moods. Just like an ordinary man, he has different moods and different relationships. Like if you're working for him in the business, let's say he's in charge of Microsoft or something like that, and you're one of the programmers at Microsoft, and you just don't go up to him, usually, and just like slap him on the back and associate with him very intimately. You know, you wouldn't call him by his first name. Hey, Bill. Of course, Bill Gates is no longer in charge. He actually retired. But let's say, theoretically, you wouldn't say, hey, Bill. You'd say, Mr. Gates? Or can I see Mr. Gates? You'd make an appointment to see him. You wouldn't just, like, march into his office, or else you'd lose your job, right? So, but his wife, friends, and his children, they don't make appointments to see him. Like he comes home at night and his wife, she doesn't say, can I make an appointment later next week to see you? No, she just comes in and says, hi, how are you doing, Bill? Or whatever his name is. So there's different relationships. And if someone who doesn't have an intimate relationship tries to act intimately, he loses his job. Giving the example of Microsoft right now. Or he ends up in trouble. You understand? You just can't do that. Even in different languages, of course, not in English, but in some other languages like Spanish and even Sanskrit, you have Sanskrit and Hindi, you have like an intimate you and you have a formal you. You understand? There's a usted. Usted is like a formal you. ¿Cómo está usted? That means, how are you? You know, you say that in a very formal way to your boss or to an acquaintance or something like that. And you would use the word tú instead of usted. ¿Cómo estás? I mean, that's how do you decline it? ¿Cómo estás? Which is the second. So it's second person singular. It's interesting. Just a little language lesson for you. So second person singular is the familiar you, and second person plural is the formal you. So in other words, ¿cómo estás o cómo está usted? There's two different ways of saying how are you. You follow? Everybody follows me? So far, of course, Chaitanya knows about this. And so if you go up to someone on the street and say, and you say, or, ¿cómo estás? Of course, if you're American, they'll understand you just don't know how to speak Spanish. They just say, you know, there's an ugly American. He doesn't know anything about speaking. But, you know, it'll be an insult if it's just a stranger, particularly if you're a child or younger than the person and addressing the older person like that. Like you walk up to, you know, even within a family relationship, you have to be real careful that the father should be addressed like very reverentially. Isn't that true, Chaitanya?
Yeah.
You don't go up to your older uncle and you say, ¿Cómo estás, tío? Tío is uncle. In Hindi, it's kaka. There's different expressions around uncle. So, ¿Cómo estás, mi tío? You wouldn't say that because you'd feel insulted. So it's interesting that in English we don't have that. We just have, it's a more informal language because we just have one you. And even we use the same you in the plural, unless you're in the South. How y'all doing? Isn't it? Even the plural you is the same. You guys, right? You hear that? How you guys doing? How you all doing today? And in French also they have familiar, isn't it? Two.
Two and vous.
Two and vous, yeah, two and vous. I used to speak French before they ran me out of France. So, the gendarme didn't like me. So you have that understanding in different languages and not in English. This is practically, English is very unique in that sense because it doesn't have a familiar and a formal. So we're not used to that sort of thing. It's interesting, isn't it? Practically every other language that I know of, maybe not the Aboriginal languages, but practically therefore you don't have so much etiquette in society simply because the language shapes people's consciousness and the methods that they deal with each other. It's very interesting how different types of languages can actually cause people to think differently because people think in language. I mean, at least people who know languages, they think in languages. It was like we were studying that there's one type of language called process language. In process language, you don't have the verb to be. And so they're not finding so much fault with each other because you can't say, you know, he's an idiot, she's an idiot, she's a schizophrenic, she's bipolar. You can't say that. You have to describe things in terms of the actions that they're doing right now. Oh, she just jumped off the building. But you can't say she's crazy. Which is, I mean, it's there's difficulty with that. You know, psychologists don't do too well with process languages. But in any case, it does shape the way we think. So, particularly in America, there's a tendency to become too intimate with, you know, your elders. I mean, I find that sometimes that children call their parents by their names. You ever see that? You know, there's one, you know, little boy, 8 years old, and he says to his father, "Hey, Krishnadas," or "Hey, Joe." I mean, it's just weird. It's weird in a polite society, because in a polite society, you have etiquette, you have manners, and things like that. So, and just like you see in some of these films, and also in Hindi, they even put a Shri near the name, you know. Pita Shri, Kaka Shri. So there's a mood of reverence like that. So what does that? How does that relate to devotional service? That right now we have to be very careful about that. Particularly those of us who are Americans have to be very careful about throwing away that mood of reverence. And, you know, instead of being reverent with the deities or reverent with the holy names, we become extremely familiar. And, of course, that familiarity can cause problems in our devotional service. Like and of course, what to speak of the spiritual master. We just say, hi, buddy. You know, it says the spiritual master is supposed to be the friend of the poor and Lord and master of the devotees. So, hi, buddy. You know. So we'll take questions at the end. So we get very familiar with the spiritual master. And we saw that happen with some of the servants of Prabhupada. They got very familiar with Prabhupada and then they had some spiritual trouble. A lot of the servants of Prabhupada actually had spirit. So Prabhupada commented that it's like the sun. Association with the deities or the spiritual masters is like association with the sun. The sun can either burn or the sun can purify, depending on how you take it. So as Prabhupada said, for the neophyte devotee, it's not good to be with the spiritual master too much or with the deities too much. That's Prabhupada's comment in that regard. So, of course, if we find ourselves in such a situation, we have to be extremely cautious to maintain that reverent attitude. As I said, when we're worshiping the deities, it's on the platform of awe and reverence. And sometimes, we mentioned this the other day, sometimes devotees forget that, and then they may start decorating the deities in such a way that indicates they're thinking they're intimate with Krishna. And because their sense of intimacy leads them to do things that are against the Siddhanta. Like we saw devotees sometimes dressing Krishna as Santa Claus during Christmas. We mentioned that the other day. Or some devotees, they may think that they understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, so they put, it's one temple, they put like false eyes on the deity and had the deity look in different directions in different days. You understand what I mean? You understand what I'm talking about? Like they had Radha and Krishna looking at each other because they put eyes with the pupils looking at each other. Or at other times they put a false arm on Radharani so she was doing something else other than the arm that she had on the deities. So that indicates that people aren't being very cautious. Just like we hear in the prayers of the spiritual master we chant every day, what Vandan we Savadanamate. The word savadan means to take sarva, means to take all caution. And you'll see that on the road signs in Hindi in India. And, of course, people don't pay attention to them. You know, the road sign says sarvadan, caution, but nobody pays caution when they're driving cars in India. But somehow or other it all works out. It's like a spiritual pastime, and everything just seems to fit in. It's just like, you know, you got all these cars coming from all the different directions, and they all just like fit in with each other in some amazing, amazing scenario. I mean, if you were up in a plane taking pictures of the traffic in India, it would be the most amazing video you could post on YouTube. But in any case, sarvadana means great caution. Vadanmui sarvadana mate. So one has to be very cautious, and that's the predominating mood. It should be the predominating mood in the seven processes of devotional service. So how do we know when, or how can other people identify when we're ready for Sakyam and Atmani Vedanam? You know, because obviously being a little proud, we think we're ready right away for Sakyam and Atmani Vedanam. I've told the story before when I joined the movement. Every night, myself and the brahmacharis, we would read Krishna book. And we'd read Krishna book and read stories about the coward boys. And naturally, we brahmacharis being boys, you know, we were like 20 years old, we came to the conclusion that we were all coward boys. So in other words, we were trying to be Sakyam, even though we were hardly at the platform of Vajana Kriya. In other words, performing. Do we just new devotees? I mean, 2 weeks in the Hare Krishna movement, and we thought we were all coward boys. So that's an instance of jumping up too fast or thinking one's on a platform where one is not really really qualified to be on. So we can see when one is ready. So how do we see? It's by understanding the various stages of devotional service. Of course, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangota Bhajanakriya. That's the beginning stages. In the beginning, there's a little interest and a little preliminary faith. Then you begin to associate with the devotees, and then Bhajana Kriya. But you're not ready for Sakyam and Atmanadi Vedanam at that point. And then when you're doing Bhajana Kriya, Anarthan of Ritti is shut. You have to work on getting rid of unwanted things, like anger, lust, greed, illusion, envy. I mean, this envy is such a deep thing in all of our hearts, isn't it? When we hear about someone who's done something or achieved some position, we feel this little crunchy feeling. You know, crunchy? It's hard to describe. I mean, our lips purse up and our face crunches up. And then we think, but they don't understand how advanced I am. You know, this devotee, he's so glorified, and what about me? Because that's envy. So there's lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, all these other things. I mean, there's a way to conquer all those things. I mean, you conquer lust by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna from a pure devotee, worshiping the deity. I mean, Prabhupada has given us methodologies. And, of course, chanting the holy names works for everything. But Prabhupada has actually given us methodologies to conquer all these different anarthas. Anger, we can become angry at those who are atheistic or those who are blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or become angry with our own nonsense. That's anger, greed, enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, you can take a picture of him pulling in the money. So anyway, all these things, all these different anarthas can be conquered by the proper application of the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. So anartha nivritti shat, and then the next stage is called nishta. So nishta, you begin to get ready for sakyam and atmadi vedanam. Nishta means you're steady. I don't know if anyone remembers my discussion on this, or this is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You're steady in your sadhana, and you're steady outside of when you're not doing your sadhana. In other words, all day long, you're steady. 24/7. That's nishta. There's two types of nishta. One is the nishta is just you're steady in the morning program, and you're sadhana, you're chanting rounds nicely every day. And the other type has to do with what you do outside of the sadhana process. You know, when you're going to work, are you getting angry at your workmates? Even if you're working in Walmart, do you feel like throwing all the merchandise on the ground and getting angry or whatever? Or are you getting lusty over all the different electronic goods in the Walmart as you're working? So nishta means basically steady 24/7. So that's the beginning of the platform of being qualified for Raghunuga Bhakti or Atmani, Sakyam and Atmani Vedanam. And then, of course, when one is fully nishta or steady, then there's definitely what we call ruchi. And when one has ruchi, because in the platform of, let's just connect that, with the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti, which is Sakyam and Atmani Vedanam, then one begins to become attracted to particular aspect of Krishna's pastimes. Because that's part of Sakyam and Atmani Vedanam. You understand? Understanding where you fit in. And then it's also practice. It's also part of sadhana. And then you begin to think of a particular resident of Vrindavan, Mayapur. And you follow in their footsteps and serve them in meditation as you're performing your sadhana, your external sadhana. So anyway, so this is what's being described here. You had a question, Madhuha? Madhuha?
Yeah, one question and maybe a comment.
Yeah.
The question is, form of old English, is that more, would you say that is more, this one, is that more interested in more formal?
I don't really know. I'm not expert in old English. I'm just in some modern languages. Yeah, thou, you know, thou would be, I guess what you're saying is true, that there would be a more formal thou, you know, instead of you would be thou, so it's a much, yeah, it is more formal, but I'm not claiming any sort of expertise, and I can hardly understand Old English. When I read Shakespeare, I practically need a translator. So, yeah. Yeah.
It gets to friendship, Srila Prabhupada describes that by preaching the glories of the Lord, we're actually acting in friendship.
Mm.
So I'm thinking that could be a way of accelerating our progress.
Yes, yes, actually, that's a good point. Actually, Prabhupada said preaching is also in the mood of the gopis. Yeah, there was another comment, Prabhupada. You know, book distribution is in the mood of the gopis. Prabhupada said that too. Yeah, that's a very nice comment. And actually, it's another thing I just wanted to mention here in the bottom, that Prabhupada said about preaching. A neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. So does that mean we wait? No. Because we are repeating Prabhupada's words. We're preaching because we're letting Prabhupada do the preaching. And when you become more advanced, of course, you're also still an instrument for your spiritual master, for Prabhupada. But you can become more expert in putting things into your own language or the local languages to explain to people, and there's more realization. But in other words, unless we're actually advanced devotees more than a neophyte, we shouldn't be like publishing books and things like that, like something prominent. We should just be repeating Prabhupada's words. We can put them in our own words, but basically it's Prabhupada preaching there. So one has to be very, very careful. I mean, like Prabhupada, because he is an advanced devotee, I mean a pure devotee, he was able to really adjust things in a very radical way in his presentation of Krishna consciousness to us. So any other questions or comments? Questions, comments? Purva, you usually have a question.
So on this second part of our Nishtha that you're talking about throughout the day.
Yeah.
Maybe talk a little bit more about that, how that would look like.
Well, it would be that one would be focused on the goal of pleasing Krishna throughout the day, regardless of what one is doing. And also maintaining control of the senses, you know, the brahminical qualities, samadhamaktapaksho, chamshanti, rajivamevajam, being equal poise, tolerant. Doesn't mean that if one is a kshatriya, one wouldn't fight, you know, one would fight like Arjuna. But just one wouldn't be on the mental platform about things. When we just be very focused, doing his duty, remembering what the purpose is, you know, and not fluctuating like that. That's nishta. And you can, I mean, basically it's an intelligence platform. Also that one knows what one's supposed to do and controls the senses and the mind based upon what his duty is in life. That's nishta. He's not yet pure, completely pure. We're not talking about, you know, someone who's completely pure. We're not talking about someone's on the platform of Baba Bhakti yet, or what to speak of Prema Bhakti. We're talking about someone who's functioning on the level of intelligence and all day long remembering, why am I here? What am I doing? What's the purpose of life? That's nishta, 24 hours a day. You're remembering that. That's the description given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And the book Madhurya Kadambani gives a very nice description about the two types of nishta. There's also two types of ruchi, too, which is the next highest platform of devotional service. One type of ruchi is when one likes Krishna Katha when it's done by an expert person. Let's say someone who knows how to chant nicely. Let's say Amal is chanting and you like it. But then if someone comes in who can't keep a tune, you don't like it. So that's the two types of ruchi, where one type is you're really attracted to Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's description when things are done nicely, but otherwise not. And the second type of ruchi is one's attracted regardless of who's doing the chanting, as long as they're devotees, who's doing the chanting or hearing, or even if they're playing the mridanga off key, off note or whatever it is, off beat. you still like it. So, anyway, that's a higher platform of devotional service. I'm not claiming anything for myself. I'm hardly on the platform of Adho Shraddha.